Well, it has been said that a seven-day week is not something that should be tinkered with. Certainly, this word of warning has not deterred some in the past to try and do so. In 1793 in France, in an effort to increase human productivity, the calendar was changed from a seven-day week to a 10-day week. It is said that they must de-Christianize the calendar, and therefore they will have more production, and they will have, therefore, more profit and a better economy in the land when this would be done. It is fair to say that this experiment was an epic failure. People, rather than being more productive, were actually burning out very quickly. They were getting very tired, and it seemed to be that eventually, rather than production increasing, it actually decreased. And therefore, this seemed to be an absolute disaster. And it was said by someone who was contemporary to that time that it seems to be human beings were not made to work 9 days and rest one, but rather they were made to work 6 days and to rest one. And therefore, this is the biblical pattern. It's very true that the Lord has set out a seven-day week whereby the Christian will work 6 days off the week, and therefore they ought to be the observance of the Sabbath day. There ought to be that day of rest. We ought to observe a day that we can very well call the Lord's Day. And you know, it has been said that the Sabbath is not a new thing, and yet it would seem that the Sabbath is a very new thing to so many Christians. And this is perhaps because so many in these days are guilty of not properly observing this day. They're guilty of not properly doing what the Lord has commanded them to do on the Sabbath day. It could be true that for so many, they do not know the blessings and they do not know the benefit of a well-kept Sabbath. And we ask this question this morning to me, and we ask this question this morning to you also. Do we know the benefits? And do we know the blessings as we examine our lives and as we examine our souls honestly before God? Do we know the benefits? And do we know the blessings of a well-kept Sabbath? And maybe it is something that will be new to our experience. And we can say then that in the light of Scripture, what a shame. Because there's something that you will see as we go through this sermon this morning. What the Christian does on the Sabbath day will have implications for what happens the rest of the week. And therefore we say what the Christian does on the Sabbath day will have implications on their Christian life. And therefore this is a subject that we ought to take seriously. Did the Savior not say in Mark 2 verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath? And therefore, he is outlining the great truth that the Sabbath is to be of a benefit to the Christians. And yet how often we can go week by week and year by year, and we're unmoved, we're unchanged, we have not known the great transforming effects of a well-kept Sabbath upon our souls. And as we come to Isaiah chapter 58, we're brought back to this glorious theme. And here we see wonderful truths that would teach every Christian who reads them the great reality that we must not forsake the Sabbath day. And you may ask that question, well, why, as we, as a church and as individuals, why must we not forsake the Sabbath day? And that's what we'll answer as we look at these two verses this morning in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 to 14. Why we must not forsake the Sabbath day. Why we must not forsake the Sabbath day. The first thing I want you to see as we answer this question is because the Sabbath is kept out of Christian duty. The Sabbath is kept out of Christian duty. When it comes to the observance of the Sabbath day, Christians must understand very clearly that this matter is not a matter of conscience, but rather it is a matter of obedience. You see, so many perhaps in modern days will put this to a matter of conscience and say the Christian must do what their conscience dictates. But I would say we must do what the Lord dictates. and what the Lord says in His Word. And therefore, He is very clearly saying here that when it comes to the Sabbath day, it's a matter of a Christian as an individual obeying what the Lord their God says. And as it is a matter of obedience, then this will come to the Christian heart, and they will say in their souls, out of a sense of duty, I will do what the Lord says. This is your duty. This is the obligation that comes upon your soul this morning, that you will do what the Lord says. This is why verse 13 of the text says that we will call the Sabbath a delight. This simply means that the believer will call the Sabbath a pleasure, a pleasant thing to their souls. Something that causes them great joy and happiness, because there is this sense of obligation and duty, and therefore they say within their hearts, I will obey the Lord out of joy, or in joy and in happiness. And is this the case with us? As we see this as a matter of obedience, is there joy within our hearts as we consider that we can do the will of God and please Him and do what He asks us to do in His Word? So often in life we look forward to great events as we place them on our calendar. Maybe it's a wedding, maybe it's some other event. We set the date and we begin to mark it off, and it seems to be that as it gets closer, we begin to get more excited, and we cannot wait for it to come, and there's great anticipation of it within our souls. And we're getting closer and closer and closer, and then the day comes. And that's everything that we would expect, and it thrills our hearts. And yet when it comes to the Sabbath day, would it not be in the Monday and the Tuesday and in the Wednesday of our week, we would say within our souls as we toil and we labor, oh, that the Lord would dawn His rest upon my soul this week. Oh, that the dawn of the Sabbath would be upon me, and I would see that day come again, and we would say in our hearts, it's my ultimate delight, it's my ultimate pleasure to see the Sabbath come again upon my soul. How it ought to be the highlight of our week. And yet it can be the case that it is not. There's a sense of familiarity with it. It hasn't got the exalted place that it ought to within our lives. Perhaps we look to it and we wonder what I'm going to do all day when I get out of church. And all of these things are upon our soul. And yet, as I said, when we have this joyful sense of duty in our lives, we will do what the Lord commanded. And where does this passage teach us this? Well, verse 13, I'm going on to verse 14. I want you to see the repetition of something. It says in verse 13 that the Sabbath is the holy of the Lord. And in verse 14 it goes on and it says, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And then the last part of verse 14 says, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now you can imagine the original readers as they saw this term Lord coming up here, and they see the repetition of it. They're seeing the great tie that there is between Sabbath obedience and the Lord. And any child of God and any Israelite in those days would have read this term, and right away they thought of their covenant God. They thought of Jehovah. And as they thought of Jehovah, they thought of the great covenant whereby He promised to bless them. And as He has promised to bless them, they're reminded then in response to these blessings that they must obey Him out of the duty that is in the covenant. You see, the Lord has bonded Himself to His people. And as He binds Himself to His people, especially in these days in the revelation of Jesus Christ, He binds Himself to us through Him, and He says, I will give you spiritual blessing. I will give you the forgiveness of sins. I will give you the Spirit of God. I will give you a perfect righteousness. You can have all of these blessings, and yet what comes upon our souls is a sense of duty and obligation that in response to all that the Lord has given me, I will do His will. I'm not saying why there is this obligation that we will observe the Lord's Day. And we will respond to His commandments in love and in duty. It's not a legalistic obedience, if we want to put it that way. It's one born out of love and duty. 1 John 5, verse 2 and 3 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You see, when the child of God loves the Lord in response to all of these blessings, then the commandments are not grievous, but his law and obedience is a delight in their life. And perhaps this is maybe the problem with so many. Their love for the Lord is waxing cold. Their love for the Lord is not how it once was. Their heart is maybe lukewarm. Their heart is cold. And when this begins to happen in the Christian life, then this sense of duty begins to fade away, and obedience becomes less and less, and it starts here perhaps on the Sabbath day, and then it filters out into the rest of the life. Maybe that's the case with you. Your heart's not where it should be, and therefore this is why there is no Sabbath observance in your life, because your sense of duty and obligation to the Lord is fastly departing from you. Now you're beginning to forsake Sabbath holiness. Now you're really essentially beginning to forsake the commandments of God. And ultimately then you will, as you continue down this path, dear believer, forsake the Lord altogether. Would the Lord not bring you to an end of yourself? Would you not look upon your heart this morning and say, my heart is cold, and you say, well, how do I get that love back? How do I get to where I once was? You look to your Savior, you view him by faith, and the Lord will work in your heart. Maybe it's the case that you are living for the Lord to the best of your ability. You're faithful. In every aspect of your life, you're doing your best, but perhaps in this area especially, your conscience has been seared. And you see, I would say to you this morning that none here would like to be called a thief. I wouldn't like to think that anybody would like to be called a liar. You'd be horrified if that accusation was brought before you. And yet if someone came and said, well, you're a Sabbath breaker, well, how many would feel horrified? Perhaps we'd even giggle about it. And that's because the heart has become used to it. And that's what happens. At the start, we feel guilty, and at the start, things are bothering us, but then the more and more we commit sin, the more and more we become used to it, and therefore, when we do not observe the Sabbath as it should be observed, we think nothing of it anymore. How you need the light of the Word of God to shine within your heart, dear friend, and let the Lord show you that it is a very grievous sin to not keep his day as he has commanded in Scripture. Let us see then that to forsake the Sabbath day ultimately is to begin to forsake the Lord and to forsake his word. And where does that lead? Where does that lead the church? Where does that lead our families? Where does that lead the individual? Oh, but out of duty and out of love for God, as our great covenant God, let us observe his day as he is commanded in Scripture. We must also not forsake the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath is an ordained holy day. That is our second point. In verse 13 it says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. And we see here what the Lord is saying to us. He's presenting this truth to us that the Sabbath is a holy day. Now the word day here is specific. It's speaking about a day in the week, and I'm sure that's very obvious, but as we come into the New Covenant era, we know that the day the Lord has ordained for the Sabbath is a Sunday, the first day of the week. And I'd love to be able to go and prove that, but I don't have time, and I don't want to get sidetracked. But it is the first day of the week, and it is described as a holy day. Now, it is described this way because the word holy means to be set apart and sacred. We can say that it means it is to be set apart for a holy use. And so the Lord is saying, I'm setting one day aside for holy use, to be a holy day. And that is very clear when we read the original commandment in Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so the Lord here is bringing to his people that this day is to be a holy day. And you know, Thomas Watson, the great Puritan, has said, this word, remember, shows that we are apt to forget Sabbath holiness. And you see, we can be a forgetful people. We forget Sabbath holiness, and we forget then what Sabbath holiness means, or what holiness means for this day. And this is where so many have gone wrong. They said, well, I think you can do this. I think you can do that. I think this is acceptable. I have no problem doing this on the Sabbath day. But the question will not be asked what I can and can't do when we remember that it is a holy day. Now, two things we see when we think of it being a holy day. It is a holy day because it is to be a holy rest. Now, we know the Sabbath has been described as a day of rest. And in my early Christian days, I so often thought, like many, that that meant that you sat down and you put your feet up and you rested. But that's not what it means, because we see in verse 13, it gives us an idea of what a holy rest is. It says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and we'll go on in the verse, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So what is rest? It is a rest from our employments and from our recreations. I would say it this way, it is a rest from our worldly employments and from our hobbies and all of those things. And this is vital to understand. Absolutely vital. We must be clear when we think of these things. Friend, the Sabbath is not a day for football. The Sabbath is not a day to look up the score and to see how things are going. The Sabbath is not a day to go out onto the golf course or to partake of those things that we have 6 days to partake of. The Sabbath is not a day for shopping. A Sabbath is not a day to go to a hotel and get something to eat. The Sabbath is not a day for any of these things. The Sabbath is a day of rest. And these things can grip our hearts so much that we can't even let them go for one day. We can have so much love and delight for them that we delight in them more than we do the Lord in His day. We have this attitude then on the Sabbath day that we are entitled to these things when we go out of the house of God. When we leave the house of God, we've done our hour in the morning, we've done our hour in the evening, and therefore the rest of the day is mine, but the rest of the day is the Lord's. And I say this also, it's not a day for work. Not a day to be thinking about your work, or be worrying about that dreaded alarm on the Monday morning. Now, of course, there are those that work out of mercy and necessity, and we thank God for them. And we pray for them, and we trust that they do their duty to the glory of God. But for those things that aren't in that category, then they are not to be considered on the Sabbath day. We must deny that routine. We must deny these things. We must get our heart off them. Because this is a day of rest. And you know, the wonderful thing about this day of rest is the Lord is giving us a taste. And He's giving us a tease of the rest that is coming for each and every believer. We know that in 6 days the Lord created the heaven and earth. On the seventh day He rested. Jesus Christ, He has finished His work. And therefore He has brought in the beginning of a new creation. A better creation. And when it is complete, when the fullness of redemption is done, Jesus Christ will have finished ultimately that work of redemption applied, and the people of God will find their ultimate rest. And that is what God is teaching us here in the Sabbath. He's saying you'll toil and you'll labor this week and you'll do all of these things, and yet you'll have this time where you can rest from it all. And the Lord is saying to you, take note of that, because there's going to be a day when there will be no more toil, no more labor, and Jesus Christ will bring His people into their ultimate rest. It says in Hebrews 4, verse 9 to 10, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his, and there is therefore a rest for the people of God. And this day, remember, as you rest from all of your labors, meditate upon it. One day I'm going to rest forever with my Savior. Maybe there's one here this morning and you are tired physically, mentally. You're toiling, you're laboring, you're providing. Sometimes things are so difficult you get stressed. You come here today to the house of God, and what a relief it is to your soul. You're thinking about nothing but the Lord, and it's sweet to you. Friend, do remember the Lord is going to give you an even greater rest than that. Someone here this morning and things have been difficult. You're in pain. You're going through treatment. You have things to face that I cannot enter into. Things are very hard for you. As you sit in your pew this morning, remember the Lord one day will give you rest in your body. He'll take away all of that pain. Take away all of the suffering. There will be no more anticipation of what's to come because you'll know that it's glory all the way. Let us remember it is a day of holy rest. But it also is a day of holy worship. The Lord makes His people rest in order that they might worship Him. That's a wonderful truth. It is a day of worship, and we are thankful to God for our public services. This is the apex, the ultimate of our worship. And this is the church gathered, and that is a proper definition of the church gathered as a people together around the feet of the Lord. But it is not just to be this gathering that is to be our worship for the day. It is to be a day of worship. It is to be a day of seeking His face, of praising His name, of meditating upon His word. That is what the Sabbath day entails. And so often we do wonder, don't we, what we're going to do all day. And yet the Lord says to us, you're to worship Me. You're to praise My name. You're to consider My word. This is the requirement that the Lord leaves upon our hearts. And I ask you this morning, friend, how have you worshipped the Lord thus far? How have we praised Him? Maybe we just mumbled the hymn. We never even thought about the words. Maybe we forgot about what we sang already. How has our worship been compared to the standard of Scripture? And let this be a day of worship for every family, for every couple, for every individual here this morning. You go to your dinner this afternoon, speak about the Lord. Speak about His Word. You're talking to your children, speak to them about the Lord. When they're in Sunday school, when that commences, ask them, what did they learn? In the past, I've got my niece and nephew to come and to sing the choruses to me. And they're not good singers by any means, but they do their best. When you go for your walk with your family or again as an individual, think about the Lord. Get our minds upon Him. Let this be a day where we're so focused upon His glory. And we worship Him. And we have this delight in our souls to sing His praise. And again, as I said earlier, this is why people ask what I can do and what I can't do in the Sabbath. When our worship is right, these things won't matter. We won't ask these questions. But it'll be a day of holy praise and holy worship. We struggle with that. Well, how are we going to do it in eternity? Because that's what we're going to do in eternity. We're going to sing to the Lord and praise His name. Oh, let's see it to it that we do it right now. In preparation for that great day, we take this day and we think of the Lord. We learn of Him and we praise His name. Holy rest and a holy worship. Will you remember from now on Sabbath holiness? There's one more thing I want you to see when it comes to why we must not forsake the Sabbath day. It is because the Sabbath day is a means of blessing to Christians. As I said already, what we do in the Sabbath day will have an impact on what happens the rest of the week. This is very clearly seen in this verse 14 of the text. It says, "Them," and you notice there that that word is a response to keeping the Sabbath aright, "then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father." And you see, the Lord then spells out this blessing into the Christian life, and He shows the benefits of what it means to keep the Sabbath day a holy day. First part is, He says, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord." And we said already earlier that the Sabbath day is a delight for the Christian. And one of the reasons as well it is a delight is because the Sabbath causes the Christian to delight themselves in the Lord. This is the immediate consequence of keeping the Sabbath day. There's a delight in the Lord. And therefore we rest and worship Him and we take delight in Him in such an intimate way that He becomes the chief object of our affections and our love and our delight, and we glory in His presence. Job 34 verse 9 says, "For He hath said, it profiteth a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. And 1 Peter 1 verse 8, that's outworked in a practical way. For it says, "Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Do you see here there is this delighting, there is this joy unspeakable and full of glory in the Lord for the Christian. And this here finds its root, according to this verse, and what they do in the Sabbath day. And so often we can come to church and we can leave unmoved and unchanged and our hearts are not full of joy. It seems to be it's had no effect on us whatsoever. And you say to me this morning, there is no delight in the Lord as I sit here. Perhaps you're saying you're getting nothing out of it, despite the preaching, no matter who preaches and what gifts they have, despite the fact there's prayers, there's praise, there's the reading of the Word. And yet people say they get nothing out of that. What a tragedy. Could it be it is because they've lost the joy and the delight that they once had in the Lord? And you see, when you do not keep the Sabbath day, when you come in here into the house of God and there's sin in your life, is it any wonder there's no joy in the Lord? And then when we wake up tomorrow morning and as we go about our week, is there any wonder there's no joy in the Lord because there's sin in our lives? Oh, that we would find that joy again. What a difference that will make. We look all around us and things are difficult and we're worried, some of us perhaps. Yet should not the church be characterized by its joy in these days? We're so delighted and we're so joyful in the Lord that people see that. We're not full of dread, but we're full of joy. You want to find your joy in the Lord again, find the root cause of the fact that it's not there and that you have not kept the Sabbath day holy. That ought to be your testimony. Verse 14, he moves on, "I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father." That there phrase there, "I cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth," it's also found in Deuteronomy 32, verse 13. It speaks of the children of Israel there, and it says, "He made him ride on the high places of the earth." And of course, we know that the Lord did this by protecting his people. He provided for them. And he secured them as they traveled through the wilderness. And ultimately, he took a generation of his people into the land of Canaan. He caused them to ride upon the high places of the earth. And you know, Matthew Henry gives a wonderful definition of what this means. He says, "If God by his grace enable us to live above the world, and so to manage it as not only not to be hindered by it, but to be furthered and carried on by it in our journey towards heaven." Essentially, what is being said here by the Lord is, when you observe my holy day, I will cause you to live above the world. You will live above its principles. You will live above its philosophy. You will live above its trouble. You'll live above all of these things. You'll be an overcomer when it comes to this world, because we know that so much of this world is headed for destruction. And the Lord says to his people, "I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will cause thee to live above the world." What a wonderful truth. To live above this world and all that's in it. We know it's evil, don't we? We see so much of it is against the Lord. Yet we live above it all. The Lord will cause us to ride upon those high places of the earth until we are overcomers in Jesus Christ. He says also he will feed them with the heritage of Jacob. We know the heritage of Jacob ultimately was to be the land of Canaan. And the people of God there would be fed by the good things that it provided. And so when we come down to this era, we can say that the people of God, we look for a greater Canaan, we look for a greater country, and we look to be fed from all of the precious gifts that the Lord has given to us from it. And the Lord has given us a wonderful heritage in heaven. He's given us the beginning of it already. He's given us the Holy Ghost. He's given us a perfect righteousness in Jesus Christ. He's given us all of these blessings in our lives right now. He's feeding us with the heritage that we have from the heavenly country in Jesus Christ. And every time we come on the Sabbath day, we're reminded of our heritage and we're reminded of all the blessings that we have, and we're full of joy, as I've said earlier. We're full of hope. We're full of grace. And then we have the strength to keep going on with God. And we're thankful for all of the wonderful things that He has provided for us. Dear believer, do you taste in a spiritual sense all of the good things that the Lord has for you? Do you taste and do you see all of the wonderful blessings that He's given you in Jesus Christ? He will cause you to see them when you live your life in obedience to Him. What a difference that makes when we see what we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. We'll see the exalted place that we have with Him. See that we are kings and priests unto God. And I ask you then, in the light of all of this, will it change your heart when it comes to the Sabbath day? Will it change your opinion? Will it cause you to have a renewed zeal in your soul to do what the Lord expects on this day? Will this be a different day today? Will this be a holy day where the Lord is honored? I pray it well, for Jesus' sake. Amen.